all seem very reserved today. Is it that lost hour? Sleep is early still for it. Yeah, don't worry. We've had that lost hour. We've also had the dog poorly in the night 3 times. So it's like having children again. So, but he didn't buy you flowers or a card or anything, did he? No, just got you up 3 times in the night. That's dogs for you, isn't it? Really? There you go. Anyway, right. If I could have my laptop up, that would be lovely. Dogs like children. They are a sacrifice. And sacrifice is not a popular term to speak about. Our lives are hard enough and they're busy enough, aren't they, without sort of extra struggle of choosing to go without something that we feel we might need, like, well, sleep. But it happens. And Mothering Sunday is a time where many people focus on, the sacrifice of motherhood. Does that ring any bells for any of you? Yeah, maybe. Perhaps you as a mother, or we as children, remember how our mothers sacrificed their career. Maybe they sacrificed their freedom. Maybe they sacrificed their independence. Perhaps they sacrificed their figure. Or even sleeping through the night, or having disposable incomes, or a choice of car. You know, they quite fancied one of those little Mazda MX-5 things, but no, they've got to drive a big people carrier. You know, the choice of house or holiday, all for us. They sacrificed all those things for us. Then again, perhaps some of you, whether or not your mothers, you made a sacrifice over Lent. You've chosen to not enjoy something which you usually have in your lives, whether that be chocolate or beer or social media. Has that been difficult for you? Well, suffering's supposed to be, isn't it? So does God demand that we give things like chocolate and beer and social media up for him? Or that we choose, you know, difficult, sacrificial paths in order to please him? Well, during Lent, we've been thinking about worship in the wilderness, about worship away from some of the joy and the exuberance that we would normally be drawn to. We've journeyed into the wilderness with Jesus. We've seen it's a secret, a personal journey, a spirit-led journey, a simple journey, and a sorrowful journey. Now today, we're thinking about it as a sacrificial journey. But in order to understand what sacrifice means, we need to turn to that chapter we just heard from Isaiah 53, that well-known description of the suffering servant. Hundreds of years before the birth of Jesus, Isaiah foretold a type of Messiah who was not the strong and the powerful leader which Jesus' contemporaries were expecting. Sometimes the text is thought to represent the nation of Israel and its suffering, but you know, the later New Testament writers, they understood it to be all about Jesus. So the first thing to draw out from that reading is that Jesus is a man of sorrows. It's tough being a mum, I believe. Yes, there are lots of joys and perks, but there are also times of great sadness and pain. A good mum isn't just someone who can stick a sticky plaster on and a graze and then tell you to pull yourself together. A good mum is someone who, when necessary, will weep with her child and empathise because she knows the pain that they feel. And we already saw last week how Jesus meets us in our different states of distress. Yet we read in this chapter that Jesus does more than provide just a shoulder for us to cry on. The journey of Jesus himself was one of sorrow as he travelled through the wilderness of this world. A journey which ultimately took him to the very epicentre of the wilderness, the cross. Isaiah prophesied about Jesus that he was like a root in dry ground. He was despised. He was rejected. A man of sorrows, acquainted with the deepest grief. We know that Jesus, this man of sorrows, we know that he wept at Lazarus' tomb, we saw that last week. He wept over the fate of Jerusalem in Luke 19, and he mourned over the loss of his cousin John the Baptist. In Matthew chapter 14, the horrible story of John being beheaded. And when Jesus hears this news about his cousin, he takes himself away to the desert place. He chooses to go into the desert to mourn before his heavenly Father. Our God knows intimately the human experience of grief and pain. He's not detached from our grief and our pain. Jesus doesn't just sympathise, he's able to empathise, like a good mother is. But he does more, because secondly, Jesus is the sacrificial lamb. Isaiah foretold that the Messiah would not only know our sorrow, but that he would carry the full weight of our suffering and our shame. Surely, he took up our pain and bore our suffering. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. One of the worst things, having sort of looked at my mothers and talked to them, one of the worst things about being a mother is watching your child suffer. It will be different for all mothers and for all children, but all will go through it, from a fever to a cancer diagnosis. And the overriding feeling for any loving mother is, I wish I could suffer in their place. I wish I could go through it, terrible though it may be. I wish I could go through it instead of them, so that I can spare them from the suffering. That's what good mothers want to do when they see their children suffering. Isaiah's words that we've just heard remind us that God loves us like that, because they contain many echoes of the Day of Atonement in Leviticus 16. That passage from Israel's 40 years in the wilderness tells how God dealt with their sin. One day each year, there would be the death of a sacrificial lamb and the sacrifice of the scapegoat. That's Holman Hunt's famous picture of the scapegoat. The priest would place his hands on the head of the goat to transfer the guilt of the people for all their sins onto the goat. And it was then sent away to symbolically carry the weight of all of Israel's sin out into the wilderness to die. The goat will carry on itself all their sins to a solitary place. That's what it says in Leviticus. It was to be cut off from the land of the living, suffering for these sins, so that the people didn't have to. And echoing this story, Isaiah writes, he was led like a lamb to the slaughter. And as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. Yet who of his generation protested? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was punished. Jesus took upon himself our sins. He suffered in our place. So whatever wilderness you struggle with, Jesus has borne the pain of that on his shoulders on the cross. In your place, he's become your scapegoat, carrying your sin, your struggles, your sorrows. He went out into the wilderness of judgment all alone, so that ultimately we may be healed and restored and made whole. So then, if Jesus is the man of sorrows and the sacrificial lamb, what thirdly are the sacrifices that we are called to make? Is it giving up chocolate or beer or social media? Well, the book of Hebrews is a good place to go in the New Testament to help us to understand how Jesus continues and concludes the story of the Old Testament. In chapter 10 of Hebrews, the writer describes how Jesus completely fulfills all that the Day of Atonement in the Old Testament was pointing towards. That Jesus is the one final sacrifice for all sin. And that by one sacrifice, he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. Do you remember, as a small child, making a mess of something? Something you couldn't fix. What was the smart thing to do? Cover it up? No, wrong answer. Okay, of course not. You'd always be found out in the end. Even if you thought your parents never knew, they did. No, the smart thing to do when you'd made a mess that you couldn't sort out was to go, Mom! Well, we can't make ourselves right with God. We just can't. We're sinners and we've messed it up. Only Jesus can make us right with God. Our only hope is to call out to him like we would call out to our mum when we've made a mess of things as a child. Therefore, any sacrifice that we bring today isn't given in order, as Ian included in his prayers. It's not done in order to earn God's favour. And yet the writer of the Hebrews does say that there are sacrifices that we are called to make. We're called to make sacrifices of praise and sacrifices of doing good and sharing with other people. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that openly profess his name, and do not forget to do good and share with others, for with such sacrifices God is pleased. It is a sacrifice to do those things. You have to kind of give up praising yourself. You have to give up thinking yourself and making yourself the number one priority in your life. You have to give up that you know, lost hour that you should be spending in bed on a Sunday morning and to be here to worship God together. The sacrifice we bring is the sacrifice of response. See, Mothering Sunday gives us an opportunity to offer a sacrifice of response to our mums, just in a little way. We think back on all that our mums have done for us, and we know that we actually can't remember all of it. And in response, maybe we sacrifice money to buy a gift, or time to make a card. We sacrifice a lie-in to make breakfast, or we sacrifice our reserve to actually tell her how much we love her. Seeing how Jesus has dealt with our sorrow and our shame, we should be, inspired and empowered to bring our praise and our service to him. A sacrifice of response. We can worship God with our lips, with our songs, with our prayers. We can worship God with our generosity and with our compassion towards other people. We offer sacrifices as a thank offering to God, as our praise and our worship, a sacrifice of response. But that shouldn't just be we shouldn't do it with our mums once a year, should we? But we have Mothering Sunday to sort of help us to remember that actually maybe we should have been saying thank you and we love you the other 364 days of the year. But we certainly shouldn't do that with God one day a year. This is an ongoing sacrifice of response. As Paul puts it in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So we remember sacrifice, and in return, we sacrifice. Not to earn favour. Don't do it with our mums, do it on Mothering Sunday. We don't sort of give them a present to sort of, you know, earn their favour. We do it to say thank you. And that's what we do with God as well. We don't earn his favour by offering a sacrifice of response. We're just saying thank you, we love you, you're such a wonderful God. And that is what marks wilderness worship out as being a sacrificial journey as well. Amen.